Using the Black Pew Bibles, it's page number 623, Psalm 131. What does it mean to live life with God? Well, that's a question we've been pondering for the last couple of weeks as we've been looking at the Psalms in the Old Testament. And what we've been asking is, what are the characteristics and what are the qualities of a life that is genuinely lived with God? And what we've seen over the last couple of weeks is that a life lived with God is a life that enjoys God. Because in God's presence, there are pleasures forevermore, the Bible says. We've also seen that a life lived with God longs to obey and please this God who has revealed himself to us in creation and by speaking to us in the scriptures. Well, this morning, then, I want to think about one more characteristic of a life lived with God, and it's this. A life lived with God is a life that trusts God. In fact, trusting God is the defining mark of a life truly lived with him. And actually, trusting God is so fundamental to the Christian life that the one piece of advice that you and I could give to one another in any and every situation is the simple encouragement to trust God. So, you're going through a difficult time. Trust God. You have to make a decision in your life. Trust God. Nothing new has happened in your life for the last 6 months, just one boring day after another. Trust God. And really, in many ways, the Christian life is that simple. And yet, I suspect you probably know that it's actually that difficult. Now, there's nothing simple about simply trusting God. And so as we look at Psalm 131 this morning, a psalm that is a beautiful picture of trusting God, don't see this psalm as an idyllic picture of a fairy tale or mystical type of life with God. No, this psalm is from the pen of one who, in the midst of the noisy chaos of life and living, has actively, relentlessly sought to deepen his trust in the living God. So let's read this short psalm of active trust again. Psalm 131, just three verses. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. If you notice the title of the psalm above it, you'll see that it was actually penned by David. That is, it's a psalm written by a person whom the Bible and whom God himself then describes as a man after God's own heart. So this is a man worth listening to. He's not perfect, but he's a man who knew God and who genuinely lived his life with God. But this isn't just the life of David that we see in this psalm. You understand, for us, on this side of the death and resurrection of Christ, the very life of Jesus is expressed here. You know, that's how Jesus taught us to read the Psalms. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus teaches us to read the Psalms as being fulfilled in him. Which means then that Psalm 131 is actually a description of Jesus' own life of perfect trust with God the Father. And yet, there's even a third layer to this psalm. Because Psalm 131 has now been given to you and I that we might hear it, reflect on it, and then by God's grace, live it out ourselves. See, at the end of the psalm, if you'll notice, you and I are directly invited to pursue this Christ-like life of trusting God. We are the Israel of God there in verse 3. We are God's people. The church today who are disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we are invited with David and ultimately in and with Jesus Christ to make this psalm our own. So let's begin by looking at this picture of what it means to trust God. And David begins by telling us in verse 1 what it is that he doesn't do. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous or too difficult for me. Now, the language that David is using here is the language of humility over pride. And so, in other words, he's saying, my heart is not proud. And my eyes, they aren't raised to such a level that I'm looking down on other people. I'm not arrogant. Nor, says David, am I just relentlessly pursuing success. I'm not occupying myself with things that are beyond me and are beyond the confines and beyond the calling that you've given me, God. Friends, that in itself is a declaration of trust in God. It is to trust that God is God and I am not. In fact, this language of being lifted up and of being raised high is the language that the Bible uses not to describe human beings, but to describe God. And so David is saying, I'm not trying to make myself God. I'm trusting that God is God and that He is at work in my life, in the situations, in the context, in the job, in the family that I exist. God has placed me there and He may remove me from there, but He is at work, so I don't have to have all the answers. I don't need to try and control everything, and I don't need to promote myself. I don't need to frantically engage in the never-ending power grab of this world. And I don't need to anxiously seek after elevated places in order to exalt my self-esteem so that I can then feel superior to other people. And David, in his humility then, is able to trust God with every circumstance and with every detail of his life. And then in verse 2, we're told a little bit more about what this humble trust involves. Verse 2, so I don't do all those things of verse 1, says David, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. I have stilled my soul, says David. So in contrast then to the proud heart that is constantly running around, and constantly trying to achieve, and constantly trying to conquer, and so it's stressed and agitated and always overwhelmed and always on edge. We see here instead a deep satisfaction and contentment in the Lord. And the stilled, calmed, quieted soul is then captured with a beautifully vivid image. It's the image of a weaned child with its mother resting content in her presence. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Now to get at what David's saying here, all you have to do, I think, is picture that child who hasn't been weaned and who is desperate for her mother's milk. Now, she's frantic and screaming and flailing and crying and just completely agitated. And by the way, if you don't know or if you can't remember what that looks like, come on over to my house. Our 3-month-old Ella, she'll be happy to demonstrate it for you. But then, after she's been fed, the picture of peace and contentment, it's priceless. There she is, calmed and quieted and resting on her mother's lap. And instead of being interested now in what mom can give her, she's just interested in the presence of mom herself. When Cindy and I first had Trey, our firstborn, that image was so powerful to me that I actually took a picture of Trey resting with her. And I topped up these words from Psalm 131, and I put them in a frame as a gift to her. And we then took that and we hung that in the wall of our house to serve as a constant, much-needed reminder to us that this is what a life with God in Jesus Christ looks like. It is a life of contentment and peace and childlike trust in the living God who is magnificently sovereign, good, and just. It is a life that is not demanding of God. It doesn't demand to know the intricacies of God's sovereignty. It doesn't demand assurances for every course of action in life. And it's especially not just trying to get something from God to meet its own needs. Rather, like a child that has been weaned, it is a life that is content simply with being in the presence of God Himself. I've calmed and quieted my soul, says David. And please note that this isn't a calm that comes from simply having an easygoing personality, or from having low expectations of life, or by simply retreating from the troubles of this world. And nor is this the type of calm that comes by drinking a glass of wine or taking a pill for that matter. No, I've calmed and quieted my soul, says David. And And it's like I've been weaned off of everything other than God himself, in whom is all my joy, all my desires, all my pursuits, all my successes, and all my everything. If you're a Christian here this morning, how would you describe your life with God? If you find that you're often engaging with God like an agitated, noisy, demanding child, never quite content with his presence alone? And are you aware of what causes the noise within your own soul? Whatever it is, and it could be a thousand different things for you. Employment, retirement, politics, relationships, unsaved friends and family members, health, finances, marks in school, whatever the noise is for you, it will always come back to the fundamental issue of a proud heart that is not trusting the living God. One commentator has flipped Psalm 131 around, and he's created the anti-psalm, as he calls it. And by doing so, I think he helpfully illuminates the way that pride and noise and the lack of trust too often work together in our Christian lives. Let me read it for you. This is the anti-Psalm 131, and see if it doesn't help you diagnose your own soul a bit better. He begins, "Self, my heart is proud. I'm absorbed in myself. And my eyes are haughty. I look down on other people. And I chase after things too great and too difficult for me. So, of course, I'm noisy and restless inside. It comes naturally, like a hungry infant fussing on his mother's lap. Like a hungry infant, I'm restless with my demands and worries. I scatter my hopes onto anything and everybody all the time." So if that's the anti-Psalm 131, and if that's not where David's life was at, what's the reason then for the simple, quiet, childlike, active trust in God that he had and that you and I are supposed to have? The answer, I think, is in verse 3, where the invitation and commandment is extended to us. O Israel, O church, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ is your hope. In the second reading that we heard this morning from Matthew chapter 11, Jesus invites us, much in the same way that this psalm invites us to hope in the Lord. Jesus invites us in Matthew 11 saying, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, that is, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Friend, if you're here this morning and you're not really sure what it means to be a Christian, this is it. And not only is this the normal quality of the Christian's life, this is how, at least from a human vantage point, that one becomes a Christian. It is to leave your sin, it is to leave your self-sufficiency and your self-dependence and your self-righteousness and your self-exaltation, and it is to go to Jesus Christ, to trust him like a child, and to see that he is good and that he is gentle and that he is the eternal Son of God who alone can save us. He can save us from sin and from death and from God's judgment. And he can certainly save us from the chaotic noise of our own souls. Because he did what David could only imperfectly do. Jesus fully entrusted himself to God the Father. And so much so that he was even mocked for this. He trusted in God. "Let God deliver him now," is what people said while Jesus was hanging on the cross. Indeed, trusting God and dying there for the sin of everyone who would ever turn from their sin and put their trust, put their faith in him alone. Which means for us, There's no more running around. There's no more trying to prove ourselves to God. There's no more trying to earn God's favor. We are simply to take the gentle, light, easy yoke of Christ and Him crucified and to walk all our days trusting in Him. Friends, please hear these words of hope. You can stop your desperate search for meaning and your frantic pursuit to gain the approval of other people and your chaotic attempts to make yourself great and worthy, and you can rest in Jesus Christ. This is absolutely basic to being a Christian from the very beginning of the Christian life all the way through to the end, trusting God. Now, if you're someone who's put your trust in Christ, and who is depending on Him alone for your salvation, He is your hope. How then do we go about cultivating this trust? How do we get to the point where we can genuinely say with David, "My heart is not lifted up, like a weaned child is my soul within me"? Let me give you just three brief suggestions. You consider these to be aids in your weaning process. First, study the life of Jesus Christ. And I want to be clear. Christ's obedient life, death, and resurrection is the only means by which this kind of active trust becomes ours. It's through His work, by grace alone, that our proud hearts are ultimately humbled. But as the one who is fully God and fully man, He's also the model for what this life of trust in God the Father is supposed to look like. Again, as we saw in that passage from Matthew 11, Jesus says there, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle," and listen to this, "I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." In other words, Jesus says, my heart, it's not raised up. And so if you want to make Psalm 131 your own, learn from me and have your soul calmed and quieted. Friends, study the life of Jesus Christ. Know our Lord and Savior. Read the gospel accounts in the New Testament, and you will find in Jesus a life of trusting God that was calm, but not inert. That was quieted, but not aloof. A life that immersed itself in the Scriptures, prayed unceasingly to God the Father, resisted the temptations of the devil, disregarded worldly success and riches, called people to repentance, humbly served others, was entirely indifferent to human praise, and submitted to the will of God all the way to the cross. So learn from and depend on the one into whose image we are even now being transformed by God's grace. Second, study the promises and the character of God. The Apostle Paul, in a very Psalm 131 manner, could say in the fourth chapter of Philippians in the New Testament that he had learned to be content no matter the circumstances of his life. How could he say that? Because he knew that God was strong, and that God had promised to, quote, supply every need of his according to his riches in Christ Jesus. The more we learn that our God is the eternal, infinite, unchanging, all good, all powerful, all wise, faithful God, and that he has promised to work all things for our good and for his glory, the more firm our trust in him will grow. Finally, study the psalm. It's said that the great 4th century church father Augustine spent a lifetime digging into this psalm. A lifetime. And he's not the only one. The 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon remarked that with only 3 verses, this is one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest. Friends, we said at the beginning, there is nothing simple about simply trusting God. And yet it is fundamental to how we are to live our life with God. So study this psalm. Memorize it. chew on it, pray it, speak it to one another, and let it work its way into your heart and then into your life. Let's pray. Father God, you are the faithful, gracious God who can be trusted. And you have proved that to us in the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning for those here who are anxious and troubled. Lord, will you calm and quiet their souls with a knowledge of your presence? And Father, help us, I pray, in this church. Help us to be an encouragement to one another to trust you. And we pray this for your glory in Jesus' name.